The LexisNexis Corporate and Securities Law Community Podcast. Presentations and interviews with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, Brock Romanek, blogger and editor of thecorporatecounsel.net and other online publications, on securities professionals and social media. The opinions expressed by guests interviewed on LexisNexis legal podcasts do not necessarily reflect those of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, LexisNexis, subsidiary companies, shareholders, employees, or customers, and should not be considered legal advice. Brock Romanek is editor of thecorporatecounsel.net, compensationstandards.com, deallawyers.com, and investorrelationships.com. He also serves as editor for print newsletters such as Deal Lawyers, Compensation Standards, and the Corporate Governance Advisor. He's been blogging for close to a decade now on thecorporatecounsel.net and maintains four other blogs as well. His blog's been named to the ABA Journal's Top 100 Top Blogs for the past several years. Brock's two-time past chair of the Mid-Atlantic Chapter of the Society of Corporate Secretaries and Governance Professionals, and currently is VP Program Chair of that chapter, and has served on that chapter's board for 12 years. Brock frequently writes and speaks about corporate and securities laws. He's also very active on Twitter and has a BBA from the University of Michigan and a JD from the University of Maryland. Brock, it's a pleasure to have you with us on this LexisNexis Legal Podcast.
Thanks, Steve.
Our topic of discussion is securities professionals and social media, but I'd really like to focus in on Twitter if we could. Brock, should securities lawyers even care about Twitter from a professional standpoint?
Yes, clearly they should. We've all been reading about Twitter in the mass media, and it, going around the country this year, speaking quite a few times on this topic, it's pretty clear that most securities lawyers are not plugged into Twitter. But in many cases, their clients are. The studies have shown, and Q4 Web Systems is the one that has been most consistently putting out studies on this annually, that most large companies do have Twitter accounts, although they might not be using them for investor relations purposes. Increasingly, their corporate clients are, in addition to having, Facebook pages and now LinkedIn pages, but a lot of companies are on Twitter, and so to the extent there are issues that arise in the securities law context and a lawyer is asked about it, they're going to have to be familiar with what Twitter is to start with in order to handle the legal question that comes from a client.
You say many securities lawyers are not plugged into Twitter. Are they unique in that among lawyers, or do you find there are a lot of practitioners, a lot of lawyers who are not on Twitter?
That's true. Lawyers tend to be the last mover on any technology, but I think securities lawyers in particular are usually behind the solo practitioners seem to be the most innovative, and of course it's probably a small subset of them. But for the most part, I think securities lawyers haven't been exposed to the topic. The SEC has not put out any guidance on Twitter itself. The last guidance on electronic media from the SEC came out in 2008 and did not address the push technology that Twitter is. And so they're just not aware of how much action is actually transpiring on Twitter that is in their wheelhouse.
Can you give me an example or two of how Twitter is being used in the securities markets?
One common occurrence for public companies is they do a quarterly earnings conference call, and that's usually an audio webcast. But now more and more frequently, companies are actually live tweeting their earnings calls too. Recently, the statistic I saw on that is about 50 companies. eBay was the first one to do it in 2008, and the person there did it for 3 quarters before anyone else within eBay knew that the investor relations officers was doing it. And then that's a common occurrence, that there is some sort of activity that the legal department should be aware of, as well as the outside law firm within a company, and it takes place for a while before the compliance function catches up. This is really a similar occurrence to what happened in the late 90s when the internet first really broke and a lot of things were happening that a lot of the compliance people did not know about. So what happens with these earnings conference calls is that when transcript is made for the senior officers to do the call, tweets are prefabricated as well and sent out as the call transpires. And there's many other examples like that. There's a lot of live tweeting during annual shareholders meetings, not from the companies themselves, but from people in the audience. But oftentimes the company and their lawyers should know what's being said about the company. And then you have a simple example like Microsoft General Counsel Brad Smith, who does tweet, and back in August he responded to a claim that Google had about not being invited to a joint venture, which caused a stir up in the Northwest. So you do have examples now of lawyers using Twitter actually to, you know, get involved in sort of a he said, she said, pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, that is interesting. You mentioned how lawyers can many times be slow to jump on the technological bandwagon, but apart from the professional aspect, lawyers should care about Twitter from a personal standpoint as well, should they not?
Yeah, I mean, in this day and age, job security is scarce no matter where you are, and Twitter is a great way to create a name for yourself. Social media in general allows you to network now without leaving your house, without leaving your office. So even if you're not the type that doesn't embrace networking, which there are many lawyers are like that, they don't like the cocktail receptions, or it's just hard to find time to do that sort of thing. You can now engage with people all over the world by engaging online with Twitter, which is really supposed to be a conversation. And I often get asked, you know, isn't that a huge time commitment? And the answer is no, because each tweet is limited to 140 characters, which is 7 or 8 words, as well as a link to something else, which gets auto-shortened, so there's fewer characters used. And now with applications that have evolved like Dragon Dictation, you don't even have to type out a tweet on your smartphone. You can dictate it in a matter of seconds.
There's really no excuse now not to get involved in this technology.
Because there's, you know, I have 1,500 followers. There's a program that lets you determine where they're located. I have the followers fall into 90 different countries, which is amazing in itself. For the most part, these 1,500 people are not people I have connected with in my normal professional life. These are new people to me from all walks of life. And not only does it help brand yourself for potential job opportunities, client development, but just as a new way of life to engage socially.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the limited character aspect of Twitter. It doesn't take much time because you can't write as much. And you started out blogging years ago. Can Twitter be considered an abridged form of blogging?
Well, to an extent. I mean, some people I feel like are not naturally born bloggers, or that they just are never going to be able to find their voice for whatever reason. And that's a much bigger time commitment. But with Twitter, you don't have to have a voice. I mean, because it is so few words. The key is just to really get started and try it, and then you realize how easy it is. It's as simple as sending an email. It's not akin to email in that you will not receive all the tweets from the people you follow in your inbox on email. It's all those tweets come through an application called TweetDeck that you'll download to your PC or to your smartphone So all your interaction with Twitter will be through the TweetDeck if you do it right. So you actually only go to twitter.com one time to input your email address and a password to create your handle, which is akin to having an email address. And then you'll actually never go to twitter.com again. All your other interactions will be through TweetDeck if you want to work with Twitter most efficiently. And so if you don't get anything else out of this podcast, that is to go to twitter.com and obtain a handle for yourself, because it's, you know, everything is free. And it's a land grab, so similar to getting a Gmail email account. If you wait too long, you'll be John Smith number 10,500. So all the good, you know, handles are being taken now. So for your unborn children, for your children, go ahead and get those handles. But even get it for yourself if you never expect to be on Twitter. I think eventually you will, and you'll at least wind up taking care of that.
And among the benefits of being on Twitter, it's now one of the primary ways that many people learn about the news.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how can securities lawyers best learn about how to start on Twitter?
So I'm giving, having you post a 5-page document, if you will, that explains sort of the bare bones, nuts and bolts, how to actually sign up for Twitter and some rules of the road, some etiquette. And that's probably, I think, the best way for folks to try to learn how to use it. It really is easy once you try, looking through these bullets that I've prepared will really help facilitate your entrance into the online world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you learn how to follow someone, which I explain in my document, the way to figure out who you should follow is to go to my Twitter account and look at who I follow. Look at people with like-minded interests and see who they follow, and then you can pretty easily hit these buttons and follow these other people, and within minutes you could be following a couple hundred people that are all in the same industry, and you'll be set up in a matter of minutes.
You may be surprised at how many start following you.
Yes, exactly.
Brock, thanks for the tips, the advice, good suggestions. Appreciate your time and being with us on this LexisNexis Legal Podcast.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you for listening to this LexisNexis Legal Podcast. Visit the LexisNexis communities at lexisnexis.com/community. The LexisNexis Corporate and Securities Law Community Podcast, copyright 2011 by LexisNexis, a division of Reed Elsevier Incorporated. I'm Steve Bursler. Thank you for listening.